So the text is Revelation 1, 9 through 20. And Revelation 1, 9 through 20 starts to tell us about John seeing the vision, this vision that Christ Jesus has revealed to him. We had been talking about the introduction, what Revelation, the book of Revelation is about, is God revealing, Jesus revealing. It's a revelation that is from Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, and it is for the church and for our benefit. It is an uplifting book of the Bible. It is an uplifting word to the church, an encouraging word. Also, words of warning are in here, which also uplift us and can encourage us on that we know that we must follow his word. Here's our sign. Here's our warning. Here's how you do that, and here's how you don't. We went last week, or my goodness, 3 weeks ago, through the blessings, the seven blessings that was found in Revelations 3 and then throughout Revelations. So we went through and focused on the seven blessings. I'm not going to review them today for time's sake. I'm going to go straight in to Revelation 1:9. Read with me. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience and patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the isle called Patmos on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash on his chest. The hairs of his hair were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. Verse 16. And in his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, for I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. Verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Read. Thank you for the blessing of reading your word. John experienced this that we have been learning about in Sunday or in the Thursday night deeper dive study. John experienced the privilege, everyone say privilege, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ gives John his first vision here. The vision was of Christ himself in his glory and in his exaltation. Mighty, mighty, mighty is our God. In the vision, Christ proclaims his message to the seven churches. And before he speaks to the churches, he gives John a glimpse of himself. Could you imagine getting a glimpse of Christ right now? I don't think we'd be quiet. we may gasp and fall flat on our faces in the floor before him. I don't think that we would feel comfort in a way like, oh, everything's the same, it's typical. No. When we get in the presence of the mighty God, something changes in us and in the atmosphere around us. There is nothing else in the entire world that I have ever experienced, anything that can barely even minimally compare to the presence of our God. Why did he do this? Why did he give this glimpse of himself to John? He wanted believers of every generation, every believer, to know that who gave the messages to the churches. He showed himself. He manifested himself to John in this vision. Christ wants all believers to know that the message to the churches is coming from his supreme majesty and no other. We can count on that. We can count on what we're hearing from God. We can count on the word of God. John is testifying of what he saw here in Revelation in this vision. From the message is coming from the one who must be heeded, from the one who must be from the one who possesses all power and all knowledge, from the one who can provide every need and protect, from the one who secures, and he assures us of this, from the judge himself, from the person, the one who can destroy. He will judge and he will destroy all that oppose. He is sovereign. He is the majesty on high. This is the vision of the author of Revelations himself, Christ Jesus. The one who has given us this awesome message of Revelation. This is the vision of the Son of Man, the glorified Christ himself. Can you imagine being in that moment? Could you imagine? Now we know that John, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. I want you to consider his condition. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. That's what it says in 1:9. I'm going to read this to you. I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and in the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was acting out his faith, walking it out. John was testifying of what he knew. And then he got persecuted. He was persecuted. Patmos is a rugged, isolated island used by the Romans for exile. Now we know the Romans were vicious, very good at killing. They had a very good talent of how to kill someone. Just think of the cross and the death of Jesus. But do not forget his resurrection. So the Patmos was like an isle, a penal colony, where political prisoners, people that were deemed a threat to society or to an emperor, a ruler, were sent to. Send them away. Exile them out. Let's remove the problem. And they were very afraid of John, because he was worshiping God and a worshiper of God. And he testified about God, Jesus. This island became the setting for John to receive and write the book of Revelation. Exiled. There are times that we may feel that way, exiled. But I want you to know today that those are some times where we can have an experience with Christ like no other. This is what happened to John. The Apostle John was exiled to the Greek island of Patmos. It was a Greek island, Patmos. And he was exiled by the Roman Emperor Domitian around 95 AD. He was preaching the word of God. And because of that testimony of Jesus Christ, he was exiled. Have you suffered for the testimony of Jesus Christ? Have you suffered, struggled, or been persecuted for the testimony of Jesus Christ? That's an important question. Not that we would want to be, but that's just something that's a side effect. That's just something that happens because the world and the enemy does not want us to talk about Christ Jesus. The enemy wants to shut us up. He wants to close our doors. He wants to close our hearts and end our lives. And in the whole process, he wants nothing more than to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy you. He wants to take. Why? If you're Christ's, that's why. Simply that. When you are Christ's, he wants what is Christ's. John was seen as a threat because he worshiped God and because he wasn't worshiping this emperor who wanted worship. So there's three things I want you to notice that John says here. He calls himself a brother and a companion to the believers of the church. A brother, a companion. A brother in trials and tribulations and persecutions and afflictions and sufferings and all the pressures of life in that time, which we understand some of that now. We have trials and sufferings and persecutions and stress and pressures of life. That will never change as long as the earth is in the state it's in. He was a companion. He was daily seeking with other believers the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is what we need to seek first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. We need not worry. We need not fear. We need seek the kingdom of God, and that is where we are here in our local body, our local congregation. We are currently seeking in that prayer room on Sunday mornings, in the Thursday night Bible studies, and here you are today. We are seeking God with daily patience and endurance. He did this, persevering against all trials and temptations, holding fast, looking for and seeking after the kingdom of God. The word of God says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Matthew 24:13. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said, Acts 14:22. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The way is not broad, it is not easy, it is narrow, but it is worth it. Because nothing suffered is wasted when you are a child of God. It all goes for the glory of God. It all goes to his praise and honor. And his blessings endure and endure and endure and endure. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Now this is going to sound slightly strange, possibly. To go through hard times, praise God, and in turn, that probably really puts a punch in the devil's plan, doesn't it? Praise him anyhow. I say hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. No matter what you go through, praise the Lord. Not that you're hurting, you know, not praise God that I'm hurting, but praise him for who he is in your pain. Who he is your sustainer. He's your God. He is the way maker. He's the one who can heal you. He may choose to let you suffer and walk you through it, or he may heal you with a miraculous healing. There is nothing impossible according to Luke 1:37 with our God. Nothing shall be impossible for God. Nothing. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us, according to 2 Timothy 2 and 12. John says that he was on the Isle of Patmos when Christ gave him this vision, these visions of Revelation. John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day, the first day. The day of his resurrection. The first day of the week. Sunday. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's where we need to be. The Lord's day means Sunday. In the Spirit, God gave John a deep spiritual experience. Have you had a deep spiritual experience? I ask if you have not, why not? You may say, I don't know, and that's okay. Seek God for a deep spiritual experience. But don't do it without the Word of God. You may go very far awry, believing a lie, very far off track. Many have. Seek God through the Word of God. Seek God through praying. And I love what was said this past Thursday, praying the Word of God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast not your Spirit from me, don't take your Spirit from me, Lord. David prayed that and much more. Pray the Word of God. Make it, apply it to yourself. And you will have that spiritual experience. You may not see a vision. You may have a dream. You may have a vision. You will hear the voice of the Lord. He will use his word. Sometimes when I do not have the right clarity on a direction, I'll just stop. I say to Lisa, stop it and sit down. And so I stop it and sit down. And I just sit there and wait on God. Sometimes it's a little while. Clearing the mind, waiting for clarity, not meditating like the Eastern culture is meditating with all these sounds and chants, not meditating like our popular science calls meditation and frames it with things that are not of the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God will bring you to the right place. God will hear your prayers. He knows your needs, but he can speak. And it'll just be as clear. As you grow in that practice, you will grow stronger in that practice, and it will become clearer as you ask God. We will grow, and we will become more understanding of what he has in store, what he wants for us. He will develop that in us. We are not alone to do that on our own. God met John's need. You know, he had some pretty big needs. Exiled, he was alone. If we could just imagine, if we were, you yourself alone, were just exiled. Someone come in here and exiled you to another country, an island that's there's nothing, it's barren, It's just barren. It's not, there's not a lot there. There's your family's here, your loved ones, what you know is here. If we could just sit in John's experience for a minute. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He continued to be faithful to God. He continued to meet with God. He continued with God. I am sure he continued praying for the church, for the believers. He was alone. It was barren. It was isolated. Imagine it. John knew Christ, and Christ met his needs. Wow. To see a glimpse of Christ, the majesty of all glory. The Word of God says, "And teaching them to obey, I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 28:20. He is with us to the very end of the age. He never stops being with us. Oh, how he loves us. Keep your lives, make sure to listen. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. We don't have to wonder. We do need to be good stewards, but we don't have to worry. We do not need to make money our God, and many people do. Many people do. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Then he says, the Word of God says, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. It was said to me today that anxiety can cause us to draw to prayer to God. Thank you, Brother John, for sharing that. God uses everything, but he does not want you to be filled with anxiety. There is an answer for that, and that is trusting in God at his word. Yes, you may get nervous. There's a difference between being nervous about something, and these things are normal, and anxiety, which is an extensive nervousness. If you sit in it and let it rule your life, then we have a problem. If I did not obey God because of the anxiety or fear I might have, it just made me think of putting the video out. I talked with a few people. I referenced things. I had a very, very strong aversion running through my blood about putting myself on it. I know I'm on video on Sundays, but something was different about me sitting and being on a video. And every turn I went to talk to someone, their encouragement was obey God. Even when I asked my dear husband to pray for me, and you listen to people praying, don't you? I did that day. I was listening to his words, waiting for the Lord to speak to me through his prayer, and the Lord really did speak, which was, we are to have courage. We are to obey. These are the words I continued to hear. And then in another meeting that I had, I was encouraged to submit. That hit. That there may be a spot of pride. That hit. These are true friends and true leaders and mentors and people that we need in our lives to tell us the truth. People shared their own experiences with me, enough for me to understand people know. And so I turned to God and I submitted. And in the noise of my mind and my worry and fear, the Lord stepped in and calmed it with a simple answer that He's with me. And so I obeyed. For 11 minutes, I recorded myself and sent it out. I thank God for that. I have not looked at it myself, but I thank God that He helped me to obey Him, because we need that. This is your pastor being transparent. We need to submit and to abide in Him. If we do not submit to Him, we cannot abide in Him. And that is what is the Lord is dealing with me right here. I pray to continually submit to God. It's not about me. It's about Him. So thank you who are praying and submitting to God, who are working hard for the kingdom of God and seeking God. God will bless you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. We have very many precious promises, and God is faithful to His word. His promise is sure. It does not change. It does not stop. It is sure. There's no turning with God. There are conditions to the promises of God for our sake. Revelations 1 and 10 says this, and I'll read it again. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. John was given the message to the church to edify them, to build them up in faith. There was a reason and a purpose for this. There is a reason and a purpose for every Sunday morning, as God is leading us. This was the great purpose of Revelation. This is why we must teach the Word of God in church. We must edify and build others up. We must be edified and built up in Christ. This is why, in the faith of Christ, this is why it's so important to come to church, to listen to God's word, to read God's word, but to be taught God's word. We need the taught word of God. We need to sit and study. And I'm so thankful that we have started a new class and that is doing so very well. God will bless every one of you who are coming to that class. There is no doubt in my mind. God is going to work a work that's uncommon to man, I believe, with all of my being. He says, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. Can you imagine yourself being in that moment and being John? There is a loud voice, a voice like a trumpet. It's a loud voice and it's speaking and he turns. It's not a voice in his head. This is a voice that's behind him. He turns to see who was speaking to him. And when He says, and when I turned and saw the seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash across his chest. Why the lampstand? Why was this a symbol? Jesus Christ, he is known and is to be the light of the world. He is the light of the world. The church is to lift Jesus up before the world. The church has received their light from Christ. Without him, there would be no light. And we're talking metaphorically, in a sense. The light of the Word of God, the light of the gospel, the light of the kingdom is not like the light of the sky and the sun, but more radiant than that, going more deep than all of that. He is the light of the world. The message of Christ is very focused here to the church. Focusing. The church is to make sure, y'all hear me, we are the church. Say, I am the church. The church is to make sure the Word of God is read, studied, taught, and preached. The church is to make sure of these things. That means that we have a duty to seek God through his word, to find and receive the power of the Holy Spirit, to know and be led in this gifting, whatever this gifting that God gives you in the church as he wills. And then to work, to grow, and to learn about that gifting, and to work in that gifting, and to become proficient, competent, to become anointed in that gifting, to make a difference so that we can see the power of the Lord, his Holy Spirit, in manifestation in the local church bodies. We have come a far way from that in America, in the church. Many go to church to be entertained and shop church. Many like the church building. They don't know about the body of Christ so much. They're just looking at the building. Many go for the social gathering, which is all of those things are nice. But we must focus on the true reason why we are the church. And that is Christ. Where one or two are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. Jesus is the light of the world. The word of God says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. Isaiah 9 and 2. In him was the life, and the light, and the life was the light of all mankind. John 1 and 4. When Jesus spoke again in John 8, 12, he said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that is what this light is. The light of life. For God, who said the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. And then finally, and I will wrap this up with this, finally, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. That is us. This is Matthew 5:14. This is us. The church. Let's go as far as to say we are located right here, but we are not just this location. We are the body of Christ, the light of the world, God shining. We are not God, don't get me wrong. We are the ones who submit to the Holy Spirit as a conduit, letting the water flow to those around us, the Word of God. We have a testimony. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know this. You have it. He will work on whoever you tell your testimony of Jesus Christ, this testimony, to. He will do his work. All you need do is submit. Just submit. Submit to the Word. Abide in the Word. Abide in Christ. And he will abide in you. Seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you have not been baptized since you were first heard of this good news, since you first received Jesus. Seek the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as he gives the utterance, that initial evidence. Seek him, the Lord, for the giftings of the Spirit, and grow in Christ. Grow in the kingdom of God. Be effective.